It's the Geek Cave Podcast's live annual Extra Life Marathon for Children's Miracle Network. Donate now to help your local Children's Miracle Network hospital at geekcavepodcast.com. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
We are live!
Live!
Welcome, one and all, to the annual Geek Cave Live, part of our Extra Life efforts for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Y'all, we are just over $3,000 right now.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and we are halfway through the marathon, give or take. And boy, it's been an eventful 12 hours. So if you are watching this on Twitch or on Facebook or on YouTube, we're about to play Mario Party Superstars, and we're going to use that. No, we do not need to do a system update. I am not... Good Lord!
Well, it won't take long.
Do you? No.
We can sit here and we can talk and...
No. I'm just going to start it. No. No. Updates have ruined so much of this day.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I have never seen Darren as angry as I've seen him today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be playing
by the
offline.
Way, I'm Chad.
I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And now, and that's
and
Chad.
And then it's Chad. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Can he sit in the corner of my ceiling watching me get undressed and scare the crap out of me? Not anymore, since I got that restraining order. Welcome to comics.
Before we get into comics, just a reminder, since this is the live edition of the Geek Cave podcast, that you can donate and make us smile right now. Extra-life.org. And just find the Geek Cave Podcast or go to geekcavepodcast.com. Click on the Extra Life button. We're giving away an Xbox Series S by the time this marathon is over. Now, Justin, it's all yours.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, taking up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of Sega, Nintendo, RoboCop, Dragon Ball, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Order now and to make sure it arrives in time for the holidays. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games. Now with new membership options available for everybody, including the Elite plan, so you always get the newest games and a budget plan to help you save some cash. Plus, their store now carries Lego products and some of those most popular arcade 1-up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles for you to keep as long as you want without worrying about late fees. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or pay a lot less than those in-store prices and keep it forever. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
That's a lot, man.
That was a lot, yeah.
Let's start playing.
Oh, so, typically... Darren goes first.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You got something there, dude?
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
We don't care about the guest data for this game, do we?
No.
Let's just jump into it. All right. So while everyone plays Mario Party Superstars, if you're watching on Twitch, I'm just going to try to do my best. Please make me your monkey boy. Let's talk about Mega Tokyo, shall we?
Ooh, ooh.
Yes!
That launched in August 2000, first published in 2003 by Studio Iron Cat before Dark Horse took over with subsequent printings. This is a tale of the adventures of Piero, a young fan of anime and manga, and his friend Largo, an American video game enthusiast with a name that doesn't sound American at all in any way whatsoever.
No.
This is true.
Largo. I thought for a second it was Largo.
That sounds American.
So... This is a webcomic, as you might have been able to piece together. First arc follows the boys as they manage to get stranded in Tokyo after taking a trip to Japan on a lark because they weren't allowed into E3 and Largo went on a public drunken rampage out of grief.
You know what? That sounds like an American.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
He doesn't have his passport, but he was still allowed into the country after defeating one of the security guards in Mortal Kombat. The arcade game, not the practice.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, both of them are careless with their credit cards. They can't afford a plane ticket home, so now they got to make the most of it. Okay, this one takes a lot of inspiration from anime and manga. And if you're a manga fan, I think you're going to get a lot out of this. I'm not as big a manga fan, so I might not have gotten as much out of it. It's not to say it's bad. I did enjoy it. I just kind of had to take myself back to 2000 for some of the jokes to land. For example, there's a joke about how Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid 2 looks like MacGyver due to his mullet. I can't unsee that. I can't unsee it now. That's just how it is. It's still being updated online, still being posted online, not as regularly as other comics, kind of sporadically. But check it out. I would say for my first time, it's worth a look.
All right.
I didn't have too bad a time. A little bit of Lost in Translation-ish, but otherwise I was good.
Okay. Cool. Chad.
Yeah.
Do you, well, since we just talked about manga, do you have anything?
This is Chad's Manga Moment.
Dear custodians of schools in Japan, I guess, maybe work on the floors a little bit differently, because people fall down way too often. One coat of wax is sufficient. 27 is and always will be overkill.
This has been Chad's Manga Moment.
Nice.
All right, there we go.
All right. So I was digging through some comic book history, as I want to do in my free time.
Yep.
And I noticed that, well, comic books had some weird gimmicks.
Oh, yeah.
You mean like frequent origin stories of established characters?
Well, those are tropes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No,
why does this keep... Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, the game keeps kicking me back out.
Yeah, and this is not the long box, by the way. Good. This is just good.
Good. No, I'm good as in, like, because I need to figure out how the hell to play this stupid game. So, like, as long as, like, we're still going, I'm fine. If we can't get the game launched before the first segment is over, there's something seriously wrong.
Our gaming geek, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I've had a day. Oh my gosh, I've had a day.
So no, I just thought I'd go over some weird comic gimmicks that have happened throughout the years. This first one, Darren, you're going to know.
Okay.
You remember when the blood of Kiss was mixed with its printing ink for a run of comics?
I actually had one of those issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bloody Buddies.
Yeah, that's a real thing that happened.
So back in the 70s, Kiss was like super, at its stride, at its most popular. And Marvel Comics decided, oh, we're going to do a run of Kiss comics. And to go full in on it, at the printing press, a nurse drew one vial of blood from each of the four members and ceremoniously each member poured their blood into a vat of red ink. And the first round of comics were printed with that blood in the ink. Don't worry, it was a huge vat. It was diffused. Super diffused. So if you were worried about getting an STD from Gene Simmons blood, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Next up on the list, you remember when ESPN published a Marvel comic insert featuring unclothed superheroes?
No.
What?
Yeah, in 2015, no less, in the annual The Body issue.
No, don't like that.
Such heroes such as Daredevil, Captain Marvel, Luke Cage, She-Hulk, and others were featured, quote, in the buff, flexing or striking poses, accompanied by basic stats and quotes from Marvel artists.
I am not a fan.
No?
Not a fan of that. Not even a little bit.
Oh.
As of 2021, ESPN has yet to publish a sequel to The Body issue.
Really?
No.
No The Body 2, huh?
No.
No Body Harder?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but one naked Batman was too much, yes.
Yeah, we can't have any Bat-Dong.
Hey, you remember when CBS promoted its soap opera superhero with a Marvel Comics tie-in?
No.
The November 1st...
Why would I remember this? You're bringing up stuff that shouldn't have existed in the first place.
But it did! This was in the mid-2000s. The November 1st episode of Guiding Light entitled She's a Marvel...
I hate this.
One of the characters developed superpowers after a freak accident involving a soda spill and electricity.
I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
Donning a superhero costume, calling herself Guiding Light...
I think she all the button presses just to start the game.
Yeah.
She attempted to clean up the streets of her fictional town. This episode was promoted with an 8-page Marvel comic backup story that brought Guiding Light together with Wolverine, Spider-Man, and the Avengers to battle the Sinister Six.
Point of order. What kind of soda was it?
Doesn't say.
Damn it.
Just says soda.
Red Bull.
It was Red Bull. Had to be Red Bull. Can she fly?
I don't think so.
No, not Red Bull.
Okay, moving on. Remember when Marvel pandered to horny teenagers with swimsuit issues that filled with hero pinups?
Okay, no. For one, first of all, don't judge me. Secondly, yes, I do remember this.
I do, too. This was in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
I think it's a little late to ask me to not judge you.
All right, Donkey.
I've been friends for a long time.
Okay, Donkey Kong, let's go.
You've been judged.
Oh, fair.
Been judged thoroughly.
You have been judged and been found wanting.
No, quite the opposite.
So, yeah, and the late 80s, early 90s, such publishers as Marvel really wanted to tap the extremely horny teenager market.
Yeah, not hard.
And so they published swimsuit issues.
Yeah, I remember these.
Seems a little weird that you would try to tap teenagers.
5 Sports Illustrated style swimsuit issues were published between 1991 and 1995, each with a different theme or reason for the characters being stripped down to their bare essentials.
Mm. Yeah, I remember these because Jim Lee did a lot of work on them.
And for they inspired other publishers to follow suit. But if for some reason, it was canceled without explanation. They just stopped doing it, huh? Who knew?
Weird.
And the final one I want to talk about. You remember when the NHL hired Stan Lee to make superheroes for each hockey team?
Unfortunately, yes.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
So do I. So do I.
Yeah, during the 2010 and 2011 season... I mean, it was attracting record number of TV games, of viewers and stuff. And so they thought, well, we need to tap the tween boys demographic. So they partnered with Guardian Media and Stan Lee, and they created 30 superheroes, each based on the team's mascot or name. So the Guardian 30 Project published a 192-page graphic novel filled with excerpts of each of the hockey heroes, but imagine that it failed to sell. Even with art by Neil Adams and other, you know, heavy hitters, it just didn't take off, and it was terminated by the season's end.
So
that's some of the weird stuff that's happened in comics.
There's
some weird gimmicks.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. Do we have any new business before we get into the long box?
No, we're still raising money for Children's Medical Network Hospitals. So, of course, we want you to donate, and it's real easy to do so. Just go to deepcavepodcast.com, click on the Extra Life button, and donate to either of the hosts. Now, if you're listening to the audio version of this, then you're listening after the live event, and that means, sorry, we're all out of prizes. But we would still appreciate your support.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So, Do y'all remember back in 2010 and 11 when the NHL teamed up with Marvel with Guardians Media? Yeah, I happen to have a copy of the Guardian Project Special Edition book right here in my hands, and we're going to kind of flip through this and see what chicanery we can come across.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so first off, this has a foreword about Mike Mason. Now, this was supposed to be a big deal, folks, a long-term project. The book I'm holding in my hand was the only thing that was published. So the foreword really just says that a thing happened. And suddenly these heroes are born.
A thing happened.
Yeah.
And some people were fans of it.
It says, excerpt from the Guardian Project novel. There's no lead up.
Uh-huh.
There's no conclusion.
You don't need it.
It's just a thing happened.
It's so legendary, you don't need it.
And suddenly, these characters that some dude named Mike Mason created are now in real life. Based on the 30 hockey teams of the 2010-2011 NHL season. It does go on to mention the main bad, Devin Dark.
Okay.
And he gets a one-page splash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It doesn't really say why he has nefarious plans. He's just evil. So I'm not going to subject you guys or our good listeners to all 30 teams. Each quote-unquote hero gets about three or four pages of story to play with. Just a teaser, if you will. But I am going to go through and talk about some of the better ones. So the first up is the Red Wing.
Boo!
Based on, you know, Detroit Red Wings.
I know how this happens.
Oh, it doesn't go into origin stories of any of them. They're just in the middle of, you know, adventures. So Red Wing looks like a cross between a hang glider and a Segway. He can fly, but oh, when the bad guys are getting away, they're going to drive through a tunnel. Well, guess what? Wheels pop out from his ass, and he can now, you know, zoom along Segway style.
If that ain't the most Detroit Red Wings thing I've ever heard.
Yep. Next, we have the Bruin, which is really just a giant bear on steroids and spandex. I mean, there's no...
I'm new.
There's no rhyme or reason to this. It's just a bear. A big bear. moving right along, we have the Black Hawk.
Okay.
Based off of Chicago's team.
The Blackhawks. Yeah.
The Blackhawks, yeah.
Yeah.
He is chasing down a rat man named Toxicon during Chicago's annual St. Patrick's Day parade. So,
okay.
You know, this one excerpt, you know, basically pokes fun at two cultures at once.
Sure.
Indigenous people with the blatant Red Hawks, Black Hawks logo, and, you know, the Irish.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. You know, it's Chicago. It's not good.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Then we have the Thrasher.
Ooh, is that Atlanta? Oh, that was when Atlanta had a team.
That was when Atlanta had a team, and they became the Jets.
Yeah, Winnipeg, yeah.
Yeah, this was the last season that they were the Thrashers.
Mm.
They became the Jets in the next season.
What a way to go out.
He's a transformer, y'all. He goes from plane to, quote-unquote, human mode.
Would you say that one more time, please?
He goes from plane to quote-unquote human mode.
As in, he's an aeroplane, he's just unremarkable?
No, he is an aeroplane flying in the air and then transforms into human form.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Got to be real cautious about doing that mid-flight.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, thankfully, there's no passengers.
I don't like that either.
So, next one we're going to talk about is the Panther.
Okay. Florida,
Florida Panther. Since Stan Lee was involved in all this, what are the odds that this is just a knockoff of Black Panther?
You're asking that question probably 100%.
Yeah, at least 80%.
You are correct.
Oh, wow.
That's I am not showing even, them a picture.
Not it, even trying.
Hold it up to the mic so everyone can see.
Yes, okay.
There. Yep, that's good.
The only difference between Black Panther from like the 70s and the Panther is the Florida Panther logo and the NHL crest on its belt. That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. That's a thing that's happening there, boys.
And they wonder, and we wonder as hockey fans, why the NHL is not taking it seriously.
Next we have the coyote, the phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix coyote.
Is it just an anthropomorphic coyote? Please say yes.
No.
Dang it.
It is a Wolverine ripoff.
That is not, no. That looks terrible. I wish this was a video.
I would have more respect if he was in the American Southwest.
I wish this was a video podcast just so you could see how bad that was.
Picture Wolverine with a trench coat. No claws that pop out of his hands, but, you know, regular claws. And a variety of belts.
No redeemable qualities. This is like ultra 90s character.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, and apparently coyotes fly out of his coat. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Lots of weird stuff. Oh, my personal favorite.
Okay.
The Blue.
The Blue?
Based on the St. Louis Blues.
Yep, St. Louis Blues, the best hockey team.
The Blue.
Okay. What does he look like?
Well, he looks kind of like Ghost Rider if Ghost Rider performed in nightclubs. He's wearing a very long trench coat.
Is that a saxophone?
That is a saxophone.
Is that a goddamn saxophone?
It is a gosh darn saxophone. The main villain in this one is Mr. Fingers, who looks like a choreography instructor gone bad.
Yeah.
All black spandex, little black bowler hat, you know. What I love about this one is Mr. Fingers sets a metro train off the rails, and the Blue opens up a portal between the St. Louis Arch, like it, in the open area of the arch, sending the metro train, quote, to the land of the pharaohs, where it lands in the sand in Egypt, where the passengers complain, this isn't the Del Mar stop. And the Blue says, I saved the day, but there's no gratitude. Guess I got a right to play the blues.
No.
Yes.
He did not.
He did.
He did.
He did. Then there's the duck.
Please. Now, please, God, let it just be something from the Mighty Ducks animated series.
No.
Of course it's not.
Think Black Manta on a surfboard, but with a duck motif.
No, I don't want to.
Yes, look at it.
No, I see it. You said think it, and I'm not going to think it.
And of course, because he's a surfer, he's blonde. You can see tufts of blonde hair poking out. At times, the duck bill part of the mask, which I guess is a rebreather for a scuba suit, falls away. And you can see he's got a human face underneath.
Well, you were in last place, and now you're in last place.
Yeah. But at least I'm not in last place.
Hey, you know Minnesota's team, the Wild?
Yeah, I know.
What do you think the Wild is?
I don't.
Chad, take a guess.
Black Friday shopping.
I'm going to guess that the Wild is something that is a little bit racist and probably a knockoff of something else.
No to the racist part.
The magic inside
of
you.
Well, that's nice.
It's the magic inside of you.
No, the Wild.
David Copperfield, huh?
The Wild looks like Wile E. Coyote on steroids with cyber tech updates.
Why are you doing this?
Because I love you. You always hurt the ones you love. No, seriously, the Wild looks like Wile E. Coyote.
You don't have to hurt them, though.
Hopped up on steroids and go-go juice with Iron Man-style repulsors in his palms.
I am repulsored.
Oh, next we have the Oiler. But preceding each of the stories is a full-page splash, just art of this hero. And the Oiler has a gun that shoots oil in that splash.
Yep, that sounds right.
That sounds right. In the preceding comic book, his gun both fires fire and ice, not oil.
But, never mind. Never mind.
So, the Washington Capitals, guess what their mascot?
You're going to make me guess every single one of these?
No. This is the last one I'm going to make you
guess. Are you sure?
Yes.
It better be a bald eagle.
Oh, it is. It is a giant Aarakocra-looking motherfucker with an bald eagle head, red and blue wings.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Capitol.
Can I see it?
Oh, yes, you can see it.
Why am I asking for it? Yeah, you know what? You know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Just big-ass eagle decked out in red, white, and blue. Why? Because America. Oh, and his finishing move, the Sonic Scream.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I expected.
Oh, my God.
And finally.
Really? Now?
Yes, finally.
It's been 84 years.
We venture to the far-off land of Los Angeles. And their hero, the King,
mm-hmm.
based on the L.A. Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles is known for many things. One of it is Hollywood.
When did they get rid of the Rams?
Wrong sport.
But you tried, you get a point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like
the Rams either.
Chad, this one is up your alley.
I bet it's not.
Oh, I beg to differ. So, among the many things that L.A. has to offer is Hollywood. And the villain in this one that the King faces off against is a villain known as Hitchcock. And he attacks an awards ceremony with mechanical birds.
Oh, my God.
Ironically enough, stick around for the movie segment because Trivial Trivia is about Hitchcock. I'm not even joking.
Yes. So, and like I said, there are a bunch more in this book. I've read some of these just to see what I was getting into. Y'all.
Okay. All right.
Chuck Dixon.
Chuck?
Do you know who Chuck Dixon is?
The name's familiar.
Wasn't he the buddy of Douglas Raminar? They formed a business together?
No. Chuck Dixon is a very renowned comic book author. He wrote Batman Cataclysm and No Man's Land and several other really good books. He wrote every single one of these pieces of shit. And I think it was because he lost a bet. I really do. So this, if you want C-grade material, no, I'm sorry, triple F-grade material from A-level writers and artists, check out the Guardian Project at your local eBay store, because that's where I had to track this fucker down.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you, Justin.
Oh.
So
you want to thank our sponsors?
There is everything you never wanted to know about the Guardian Project.
Right,
and yes,
that.
I do want to thank our sponsors. Shirt at Sora, sticking up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, and Gamefly, video games delivered. Please take a minute to leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. We'd appreciate it. Drop us a line on Facebook, Twitter, and Discord.
Discord!
We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen to the gaming and movie segments as well as our other shows. You want me to watch what? TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. And now, here's your out-of-context comic panel. We see a young woman on her knees, sobbing into her hands, and she says, "Wasting my life is taking forever!" For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin. This has been the wonderful world of comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.